Hi everyone, welcome to day six of the Ultimate Fat Loss for You. Today's a fun day. We're going to focus on one particular topic, to exercise and move more. But as we get ready to get started, first thing we always have to do is ask, are you doing your homework? Are you doing your daily ritual exercises? Because change is about ritual. You know, there's been a lot of studies done that that people will always revert back to whatever their homeostasis level is for a lot of things, happiness, activity level, whether it's exercise, things like that, even some of their diet. You may go through a change, but a lot of people revert back to their set point. It's like, you know, it's like your metabolism set point. Now you can change things. So we know we can change your metabolism set point by doing different things, but you have to do it long enough to change it so the set point moves where you want it to. So to use the metabolism example, you'd want your metabolism to be, you know, move from 1,500 calories a day to 2,000 calories a day just to keep you, you know, at this level. So then if you dropped underneath it, you would lose weight. But we have a tendency to mess up these things. And a lot of this is about rituals, the things you do in your daily life. And I can't stress this enough. You can see rituals in people by their outcomes. You know, if you see somebody that's in really great shape and you know that probably their ritual is eating right and exercise, you know, and please don't fall for the one off exception, you know, one person out of 1,000 that doesn't have to do that, exercise or eat right and they look great. Or the people, but then even then we have to be honest. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't exercise, I eat whatever I want. Then you really follow them around. They exercise a lot and they have a very good diet. So again, judge people by their actions, not their intentions. Sometimes people will say certain things and it may or may not be true, but their rituals kind of show through. So of course our ritual is spend a few minutes a day, 3 or 4. First you do your clearing breath, right? And then you step into 3 things that you're grateful for. Simple, easy things, fresh air, sunshine, something like that. Good cup of coffee in the morning. And I always say then step into the feeling of love. So think of 3 things that you're grateful for, a couple things that you just love. And then fire that anchor. This is your gratitude and love anchor. In today, you will also have there's a video on, it'll be up on Thursday, on gratitude. And, or there was the gratitude experiment. I've kind of expanded it out. And so you have that. And then I want you to think of 3 things you want to accomplish today, as if it's already done. And then 2, basically focusing on what we're working on here, something like eat less and enjoy it more, moving more, things like that. And then 1 other goal that you want. And then ask, and while you're thinking of those goals, you fire your anchor, of course. And then ask 3 questions that help you stay on track. And if you make this your ritual, it becomes it resets your set point. If you start your day this way, 80% of the time, it's going to become the ritual. So if you don't do it, you feel funny. It's kind of like if you get up in the morning, you have your cup of coffee first thing, something happens, you don't have your coffee, you notice it, right? And it feels funny. And that's what we want this to become. Or if you get up and brush your teeth first thing in the morning and something happens and you know, you don't do it first thing, you feel funny the rest of the day. That's what we want to have happen. With the clearing breath, you know, inhale, then exhale through the nose 10 times, and then think about things you're grateful for, and maybe that feeling of love, fire that anchor, and then think about 3 things you want to accomplish, step into each one like it's done, fire that anchor, and then move forward. If you do this, and you do it consistently, this begins to really change your set point. Because again, it's about your story. And your story was driven by your values and beliefs. Last time we talked about your story and how it was driven by your needs, which drove your triggers and your anchors. I don't think anyone else breaks it down that way. But if you think about it, it's true. You know, when you look at your life and things that's been successful, it was driven by certain needs. And if you make this that kind of need, that kind of must, so it becomes a big success. So, you know, why do you believe what you believe? A lot of it was implanted in you, as we talked about. but what do you value or believe about food or weight loss? You know, maybe you have some fixed values about it. Maybe you have some adaptive beliefs and values. But what about the clashing beliefs about weight? You know, what about the clashing beliefs about exercise? We all have those, you know, and that's what we're focusing on today. Because the first part is changing your diet, if you will, to start eating better and wanting to eat better, or basically not being fixated on food. One of the problems with most of the diets is it forces you to be totally focused on whatever food it is, you know, carb, low carb, or low fat, whatever the diet is irrelevant, because research says any diet will work. But in one way, for what we think of, it's counterproductive because it causes you to focus on food. And then what happens, you know, is now you're constantly thinking about it. I know I was talking to a guy who jumped into something like Weight Watchers or Nutrisystem or Jenny Craig, one of those. And I said, well, it's going to work. But the bad part is, what happens when you come off that special diet, you know? And then, you know, if it creeps back on, well, you can always go back. And that's, you know, that's a cycle. But are you changing the things with it, right? And what about exercise? We all have these clashing beliefs about exercise, you know, and then, and even with our weight issues, we have these clashing beliefs, things like, well, you got to love me like I am, you know, I mean, that's okay. But, you know, I mean, we judge people sometimes by how they look. And, you know, all the research says if you're in any kind of finance, any kind of sales, any kind of thing like that, if you're over 20% away from your ideal weight, people judge you as lazy and slothful. You could argue all day whether this is right or wrong, or you could point to exceptions to the rule. It's just what is, you know? And so what is correct? You know, what's the correct diet? What's the correct amount of exercise? What's healthy? And then we have all the clashing diets, you know, from the low carb to the low fat to this to that. There's all these clashing diets. And we've been addressing that as we go on, right? Because they supposedly made fat the enemy, but then when they did, they upped our sugar intake. So our set point for what we think of sweet is way up here. And again, if you ever, you know, ate a foreign dish that they might call sweet, we go, it's not that sweet here in America, because we've set our set point so high. And then today is really focusing on exercise. And exercise, I like to say, is a lose-lose proposition. We always like to say we like win-win situation, where exercise is lose-lose. What do I mean by that? Well, if you were not athletic in school, if you're the last one chosen on the sports things in your gym class, if you're the first one, if you're old enough to remember dodgeball, if you're the first one hit in the face with the dodgeball, you know, last one chosen, first one out, all that kind of stuff, you started to hate exercise because you equated it with gym class and you equated it with sports. Or if you weren't real athletic, then you started to hate exercise because you weren't athletic. Even though sports may or really doesn't have anything to do with exercise. Exercise can make you better at sports, but you could be in great shape and not be a good athlete. But in our minds, at a relatively young age, if those two get linked together, you hate exercise because you hate sports, right? So it's a lose that way. So you don't want to exercise because it's not sports. And if you were good in sports, especially in school, especially if you played organized sports, well, in most organized sports, exercise was punishment. You know, you tried to get through a whole practice and not have to run extra laps or wind sprints or push-ups. You tried to get through all these things, right? Because exercise was seen as punishment, even though you had to get in shape to get there. And then another lose with it, it's lose, lose, lose for many. Because then if you're real athletic and you're active in, let's say, high school sports, or maybe right after high school, you're still playing a lot of sports, or go to college, you play sports. Well, then you've set your, basically your metabolism and your diet level, if you will, you know, the caloric intake that you need way up here. And then you quit working out because now you're not playing sports, and you also put sports and exercise together. Well, why should I work out? I'm not playing football anymore. I'm not playing basketball, whatever it was, but you don't change your diet. You literally blow up. That's why you see a lot of these pro athletes that are all lean for their playing career blow up. They didn't adjust their diet. I remember in my office one time, I had a guy, we were doing a weight loss program. He's a big man, about 6'5", but he probably weighed close to 400 pounds when he first started coming in. And he was an attorney. And I remember we started talking about exercise. And he went, Doc, I can tell you the exact last day I exercised. I said, really? He goes, yeah. He played for the University of Florida. He was a football player and had a scholarship. And he wasn't a starter, wasn't a superstar. And he said that. He goes, but, you know, I had a full scholarship. So I graduated early, you know, really early. And then he kept on the team. So he started law school. They got him into law school. So, you know, by the time his playing career was over, he almost finished law school. Then he finished law school. But he goes, the last year he was on the football team, they were getting ready for one of the bowl games. And he goes, I remember out there doing that. And I remember, he said, after the workouts that they did, then they went through practice. He goes, after the game, and he said it this way, I knew I would never have to exercise again because I was never going to play football. He wasn't good enough to go to the pros. And, you know, he was going to start his legal career. But he didn't really change his diet. He was still eating, you know, his average breakfast was probably eight eggs with four pieces of toast and this. I mean, he was like he was still exercising for the football team. So it's lose, lose, lose for many people. Now, there's a select few that, for whatever way, get turned on to just liking exercise for exercise sake. Right? I remember another story I've had just recently. It's kind of amusing to me. I was working out at the health club. I'm into that. And there was a guy there. We were kind of working out together. And one of the young guys there was kind of, you know, just kind of we were bantering back and forth, guy stuff, right? And the young guy was probably early 20s, but he's a bodybuilder. And the other guy who was with me, he's about my age, but he used to compete in bodybuilding. And of course, he hadn't done it since probably for 25 years, but he still looked great. Anyway, and the young guy was kind of busting his balls, as we would say. And I remember the guy went to the gym, looked at him and says, you know, I'm not impressed with the way you look right now. I want to see you in 30 or 40 years. And the guy went, oh, he goes, I can tell you all the guys I competed with, and he competed all over he was a semi-pro bodybuilder, but he, you know, he competed in all these competitions, won all these things, you know. And he goes, but of all the guys I trained with, there's only about three of us out of that 20 or 30 that are still exercising. And I thought, fascinating, right? And these were people that were in contest level. And maybe it was the same kind of thing. So he's telling that to that young kid, you know, that, you know, your testosterone's high, you're working out, you're looking great. I want to see you 30 years from now after you've gotten married maybe and had a couple kids and all this other stuff. Life can get in the way. Are you still working out the way you used to work out? So what we need to do is develop a new attitude. It's not what you eat, it's what's eating you. And when it comes to exercise, we need to develop a new attitude and outlook about exercise. What blocks you? That's what we're going to be working on today. So what do naturally thin people do? You know, and that's what we're working on. They think differently about food. They don't obsess about food. They eat when they're hungry. They don't eat if they're not hungry. A really naturally thin person, if it's dinner time, and they say, oh, here it's dinner time, they go, I'm not hungry. You're not going to guilt them into eating dinner just because it's dinner time. And, you know, we see people do that. It's lunchtime. You got to eat something. You're not going to starve by 5 o'clock when you get off work or whatever it is. So what do thin people do? And then what do people who exercise or move regularly do different than people that don't? You know, and a lot of that is what are their beliefs about exercise and movement versus your beliefs? You know, one is it's natural, it's normal, it's something that they have to do. I remember I was in a place and I was exercising, and a personal trainer was walking by with a lady, and he was trying to motivate her, but she said, oh, I'll be so glad when I get in shape so I can quit exercising, right? And you know, the trainer laughed, and he goes, ma'am, you know, he's trying to talk to her, but you could tell she was dead serious, right? That she thought once she got in shape, maybe she could quit. And so there were two people working out by me. I've told this story before. They're probably in their 60s. They looked glorious. I mean, they could be on the cover of a fitness magazine, right? And the guy asked them about exercise. And I don't remember what the guy said, to be honest with you. But I remember the lady said, without blinking an eye, Well, she didn't understand how people didn't exercise, because to her it was like taking a shower. How do you not shower or brush your teeth every day, is what she said. She goes, you might skip a day here or there, but you're not going to skip weeks, months, right? I posted a thing about how, you know, if you notice your teeth are getting in bad shape, you start brushing your teeth. You brush your teeth, you brush your teeth. Well, you make it a habit, a ritual, it's something you must do, and then you keep your nice smile and you keep your healthy teeth. If you got your teeth in great shape and then say, well, I'm not going to brush my teeth anymore, then when your teeth go to crap again, you don't look around and say, well, see, that brushing just didn't work. Well, it worked when you were doing it. It's the same with exercise and diet. It works when you do it. And then when you quit doing it, people have a tendency to say, see, it really didn't work. So a lot of this is about our beliefs and our attitudes. So today we're going to be focusing on what's your fear, conflict, what's the block that stops you from exercise. So when you think about exercise, what does it bring up? Does it bring up feelings? It probably does. Maybe like, you know, you were the last one chosen for the sports things in school, middle school, grade school, middle school. Get in touch with it. And even if you were athletic, you might be thinking, oh man, you know, you tried to avoid it. But whatever it brings up when you think about exercise, and I use the exercise and movement, right? Get in touch with it. Get in touch with it. Because as you change your old beliefs will use fear to block them. And it's trying to keep you safe, trying to keep you in that space, wherever it was, right? And so first thing we're going to do is EFT, or the Callahan technique, right? EFT is emotional freedom technique. Callahan technique is thought field therapy. They're pretty much the same. But all I want you to do is tap on your hand, just like that, if you're not familiar with it. And use either your whole hand or two fingers and say, I totally and completely accept myself, even though I may have a block about exercise. I totally and completely accept myself, even though I may have a block about exercise. I totally and completely accept myself, even though I may have a block about exercise. I totally and completely accept myself, even though I may have a block about exercise. Great. Then you're going to just tap right here, right there in the eyebrow. And I want you to say, we'll just use a general one, every day in every way, I get better and better. Every day in every way, I get better and better. Every day in every way, I get better and better. And then tap on the side. Every day in every way, I get better and better. Every day in every way, I get better and better. And then tap there. These are stomach. This is stomach five. These are bladder points, right? I think. And these, I do know this is stomach five. Every day in every way, I get better and better. Every day in every way, I get better and better. And right underneath your nose, every day in every way, I get better and better. Every day in every way, I get better and better. And then underneath your chin, every day in every way, I get better and better. One of these is a center vessel, one's conception. I always get the two confused. One runs down, one runs up and over. Every day in every way, I get better and better. And then every day in every way, I get better and better. It's right there on the collarbone spot. I do both. You could just do one. I just do both. Every day in every way, I get better and better. And then right there on the back of your hand, right where between the ring and the little finger, tap right there and then move your eyes around like figure eight, circles, up, down, left, right. Keep thinking, every day in every way, I get better and better. Every day in every way, I get better and better. Take a deep breath. Good. Now what I want you to do is we're going to go through the exercise, and I'm going to walk you through it. And while we do, I'm going to record it. So it'll also be a special, there'll be two recordings on today, because the first one will be this. It's a focusing technique to focus you through your blocks or your fear about exercise. So are you ready? You can close your eyes and take a deep breath and relax. So just focus your eyes and relax. And what I mean by focus your eyes on the inside. And think about exercise. When I say exercise, go with your first thought. Don't analyze it. What comes up? That if it's a feeling, what kind of feeling? Where in your body do you feel it? Does it have a color? What color pops to your mind when I say this? Is it warm or cold? Light or heavy? What sounds do you hear? See if it has a name, or name it and see if it fits. Is it exercise? Is it movement? Is it pain? Is it what is it? And I want you to give it a name. Just give it a name that kind of resonates with it. Because by naming it, you connect the two hemispheres of the brain. So what I want you to do is just relax. Relax your mind, relax your body. And we're going to come back and do this. But first, I'm just going to count from 1 to 5. So you can block. And I want to think about setting aside all the distractions of the day. Everything going on, except what we're working on. Things at the office, things with the family, things with the government, whatever's going on, set them away. They'll be there when we're done. Now, I'm going to count from 1 to 5 and just let yourself relax. 1, let your mind and body let go. From the top of your head to the tips of your toes, just let yourself relax. 2, going deeper and deeper, going all the way down. 3, just letting go. Just letting go, just letting go. 4 is for you to forget everything but what we're working on. And 5, just relax. And ask yourself again, the feeling when you think about exercise, what blocks you? What's the block? What's the fear? What's the trepidation? And as you do, where in your body do you feel it? And I'd like you to touch it and see if it has a touch, a texture, a temperature. Ask its name. What is it? When you name it, see if the name fits. And when you ask it name, or if a name pops to your mind, don't analyze it. Just see if it fits and then thank it. And then ask, what is it about exercise that causes such a block? What is it trying to tell me? What is this block? What is this fear? What is this trepidation trying to tell me? Because consciously, you want to start to exercise. You want to be one of those driven to exercise people, one of those people who stays in shape, who exercises regardless of the weather or what's going on. The kind of person you see that is, if they're in a gym or a health club working out, they have a broken leg, they're hobbling around and they're still doing other exercises. They're driven. It's a must for them. So ask, what is it trying to tell you? And then what I want you to do is imagine, go through it, dive into it, let it flow through and around you. And get comfortable with this block. Know that it was here to keep you safe and secure. Many of us, if you weren't athletic when you were a little kid, it has that fear of being rejected, teased, made fun of. What if I do this? And, you know, and those bodybuilders over there, those people that are thin and healthy and in shape, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if it's real or not. It's there. So drop in and see what's under this fear, this block. Is it that, or is it something else? And name this. Ask its name and ask, is this it? Is this the real block? Is it the fear of rejection, of being teased, of not being athletic, of not being good enough? Even if you were athletic and you were on the team, but you weren't a star, is that it? You're afraid you won't be good enough? Even if you're in great shape, you see the person with the six-pack abs and the ripped muscles, and so you always think, I'm not good enough. Ask yourself that and go through this. And get down to the bottom, whatever that bottom is. And then go through that until you get to a space where you realize it was all just there to try to keep you safe and secure. Because at the highest level, your conscious mind and your superconscious mind knows that if you start exercising and moving and doing that, you'll be much more better able to live your life. Your body is a wonderful, magnificent creation. And with a healthy, vibrant body, you're able to enjoy every aspect of your life. All those sensuous experiences, walking in nature, dancing, moving, doing all these things, you do them better when you're in touch with your body and you can exercise. That's right. Good. That's right. And drop down. And now the part of you that wants you to start this new program can reassure this, that you can drop through all those things and put aside all those old learnings, those old beliefs. They're no longer appropriate for what you are now. It may have been appropriate when you were in grade school or middle school, but it's not appropriate now. And maybe there's some other fears. Sometimes people have other fears, and only you know what they are. Some people have fears of being attractive and fit and dynamic at whatever age they happen to be at this time. Because, you know, people at our age should look this way. But you know intellectually that's not true. You see people in their 70s with fabulous physiques and shapes, and they're in shape and they can do things and they look great. And you too can do that. So you know that all those beliefs are made up, usually by other people. And you can let them go. And you can begin to adapt the belief that you want, the belief that you need, that you can and will do this. That's right. So the part of you that wants to make this change can drop down through all of those blocks and passages and things that is holding you back from being who and what you truly want to be. That's right. Good. 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 Now, locking all of that in, putting away all of those things, you know that it's not what you thought it was, that you can begin to do what you need to do. I'm just going to count and bring you back for right now. But you come back focused through the block. One, coming on up. Two, drifting to the surface. Three, feeling great. Four, staying totally relaxed. And five, all the way up. Good, good, good. Now what I'd like you to do is think about, you know, you release all of this to the universe. And what I'd like you to do now, we need to do the second part. And let me just write this down. What I'd like you to do is think about something you love to do. What makes you excited? What makes you motivated? It could be going on vacation. It could be going, you know, on a cruise. It could be spending time with a certain family member. Whatever it is, what is something you absolutely love to do, right? And I want you to think about that feeling. Close your eyes right now and think about this thing that you love to do, right? What do you love to do? See it, hear it, feel it. And ask yourself, is it the doing it or is it the anticipation of doing it? And I know my friends that are really Star Wars geeks, they get all excited about getting ready to see the new movie. And they'll even say their biggest fear is that the movie will let down because all that anticipation that they've been building. So step into that, especially that feeling of anticipation. And that's what we're going to use later on, of this thing that you love to do. Now what I'd like you to do is open your eyes, close your eyes. Now what I'd like you to do is, how would you feel if you could not like take a bath or brush your teeth? You'd feel grody, dirty, disgusted, right? You go, ugh, ugh. You know, you might have to skip it for a day, like you're traveling, or, you know, something happens and you hit the ground running. Of course, here in Florida, we have hurricanes. I didn't, you know, for a couple of day and a half, it was pretty tough. You know, until we got a generator going and got some water, go over to the health club once they got power and could shower and clean up there, because we didn't have it here. But it felt, ugh, right? So this is what we're going to do now. We're going to help you install a new idea about exercise. Now, the last thing I want you to do is ask yourself if you're a spiritual being. Do you believe in a universal God, a universal power, a higher power, something greater than yourself? It's all we need. Now what I want you to do, just take a nice deep breath, close your eyes, and relax. Good. And now I'm just going to count from 1 to 3 since you're already relaxed. And what I want you to do at each number is relax even more. What is something you love to do? As you're thinking about that, I'm going to count from 1 to 3. 1, your mind, body, and spirit relaxes. Go into that perfect place of relaxation. 2, letting go more and more. and three. Good. Now what I'd like you to do is think about something that you love to do. Imagine getting ready to do it, maybe packing to go on vacation or seeing that family member, but you're excited, you're motivated. That movie's about to open, woo! You know, whatever it is, you're just so excited, you're almost vibrating. Now what I want you to do is hang on to that feeling of excitement and anticipation and, oh, I can't wait, and fade down everything you see and hear. Just keep that feeling, and now bring up an image of you exercising with a big smile on your face. Don't know why there's a smile on your face. I mean, you see yourself really exercising, sweat dripping off your brow, you got sweat on your shirt, you can see that you're really exercising. Good. Now let your mind go blank. Now what I'd like you to do is imagine again that thing that makes you so excited. See, hear, and feel it. Man, make yourself vibrate with anticipation and happiness. And as you do, fade down everything you see in here. Now keep that feeling, I want to do this so bad I can taste it. And then bring up that image of you disassociating, but see yourself exercising really hard, sweating, enjoying it for some reason with a big smile on your face. Doesn't have to make sense. It just is. Good. Good. Now one more time. Let your mind go blank. Now bring that feeling of anticipation up. You're going on that cruise. You're seeing that family member. That movie's about to open. Yeah, you're so excited. And now just keep that feeling. Let everything else go. And then give an image of you exercising, maybe lifting weights or going on a good run or doing a long, huge walk. But you're sweating. You're into it. You're in touch with your body with a smile on your face. That's right. Now let that drift away. And begin to put those two together permanently, the idea of movement and exercise. Great. Now what I'd like you to do is think about how you'd feel if you couldn't brush your teeth or take a bath for a few days. You'd feel grody, dirty, disgusting. You'd go, yuck, ugh, and hang on to that feeling. What color is it? Ugh. And as you get that feeling of, ugh, as I call it, ugh, I want you to get an image of you saying in your mind, I'm not going to exercise today. I'm tired. It's late. That excuse, that whiny voice we all have. No, not today. Right? Now relax. Clear your mind. Now, again, think about how you feel if you couldn't brush your teeth or take a bath, shower for several days. Yuck. Ooh, horrible. And as you feel that yuck, you link that forever with the idea of, oh, I'm going to skip it today. I'm tired. It's late. I deserve it. That whiny voice makes you feel dirty, grody, disgusted. That's right. Now, one last time. Imagine not brushing your teeth. You feel that film. Yuck. Feels horrible. Dirty. It's been on I always think when I'm on one of those 40-hour flights flying around the world, can't wait to take a shower and brush my teeth. Feel that ugh, feeling and then get that voice, I'm going to skip some exercise. I'll lock those two together. Good. Now what I'd like you to do is put that in the back of your mind. Now think about the old reasons you used to block yourself. They're gone, gone, gone. You've went through them. They're not what they seem. And now the idea of exercise actually makes you feel a little bit of anticipation, a little bit of joy, a little bit of happiness, because you know it makes you a better human being. It makes you better able to enjoy the physical body. You have a beautiful body. It's a gift from God. And now you begin to realize that throughout history, some of the more spiritual peoples, if you will, they knew that physical development was part of their spiritual development. They had to master the mind, body, and spirit. And they talked about mastering the body with exercise, with rigorous activities. You know, the Shaolin and monks in China, that's how they're, you know, the Kung Fu and some of that exercise got started. The yoga masters in India, the American medicine men here in America, the Native Americans, they had physical rituals they went through. Even the old Christian monks did like a lot of hard physical labor. It was to master the body. They knew that your body was a gift from God. And what you do with it is your gift back. So if you fill it full of crappy food and you're slothful, sloth and gluttony, ugh, you're not honoring that altar that's your body. And you know that of all the billions of creatures on the humans on the planet, and all the billions that were here before and will be here after, there's no one like you. You're a unique, special creature of God. And so you want to honor and take care of your body. And, you know, you wouldn't buy a $500,000 Ferrari and go put the cheapest gas you could in there and the cheapest oil. You'd want to take care of it. And you'd want to drive it the way it was intended to be driven. It has to be used. It had to be, you know, exercised, you know, pushed a little bit. That's what you begin to want to do with your body. You realize that's your gift back to God. So if you disrespect your body, your temple, your altar of your body, you're disrespecting your connection with God. And you realize that maybe starting now and for the rest of your life, naturally and easily, the more you think about it, the more it becomes a fact that you exercising, lifting weights, going for a good brisk walk, doing something with nature, it's your connection with your spirit. It connects you with your spirit because your body is where you live. The universe experiences everything through you. So when you're in good physical shape and you have a good sensual experience walking in nature or dancing or making love or whatever it is, that's a sensuous experience that nature, the universe, only enjoys through you. We could all have a wonderful experience like walking in nature, and we would all experience it differently. So the universe would have all those different experiences through us. And the better you're in shape, that's a wonderful thing. So starting now and for the rest of your life, the more you try to put off exercise, the more excited you become about getting in touch with your body. And if you try to put it off, it feels dirty, grody, disgusting. And you begin to realize that exercise is like, you know, a spiritual quest for you. It becomes a quest. So starting now for the rest of your life, you feel wonderful. Great. Great. And now I'm going to count from 1 to 5 and bring you back. But you come back feeling good. But you know that starting now for the rest of your life, you program yourself for success. This will be the one program you'll probably repeat a couple of times. Because once you make this a part of your life, life will never be the same again. You get in better shape. You're better able to enjoy your life, to do the things that you want to do, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, but you do it through your body. That's right. 1, coming on up. 2, drifting to the surface. 3, coming on up. 4, wide awake, clear-headed, and refreshed, forgetting the old things, only taking the new. And 5, come on back. Good, good. That's right. Good. Now what I'd like you to do is realize as you're coming back and kind of there, we're at the halfway mark. Make sure you do your daily assignments. Look for your rules. What are your rules? And again, make happiness a low bar, because if you're happy, you don't try to eat yourself into oblivion, you know, and add movement and exercise as part of that happiness quotient. Feel happy when you're doing it. When you see people that stay in shape forever and they exercise forever, it makes them feel good. It's not just something that they, oh, I have to do this. They love to do it. It's part of them. And it helps you love more, be more, have more fun. Because when your body works, everything is better. And always remember, most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to their graves with their songs still unsung. So we need to sing our song, claim your happiness. God, the universe, lives through you. And so claim that and enjoy it. So I'd like to thank you for joining me on this special day of exercise. There's 2 audio programs. They broke them up, the focusing through your blocks, and then the one to get you motivated, and there'll be another one in there for you. So enjoy these and have fun with them. And I can't tell you how much it brings me pleasure to help you do this. So I'd like to thank you, and I shall be talking to you soon, and have a great day.